Okay? And remember our ground rules that we all agree to, respect and politeness and civility.
I have a question about the aquifer and fresh water, and I know one of the panelists in their opening statement said they would speak to that, and I didn't hear anything about that, so I have real concerns about water, not only the fresh water, but also the health of the Gulf of Maine and the bay. So whatever information you could give about the aquifer, I would be pleased to get.
Thank you.
And thank you, and I'll answer the question as best as I can, and if anybody else has any other information, we'll give that as well. The aquifer, by accounts, has been drilled, I'm going to say, several times, test sites and things like that, but they did massive studies in, I'm going to say, 1950, 1960, and 1985. And the conclusion as of today is that the aquifer is fillable, totally fillable, at 24.49 annual inches of rain, and that we've been averaging 49 inches of rain for the past 10 or 20 years. So from what I'm hearing from below us, from the East Belfast side of the aquifers, is that there's plenty of water. The Belfast Water District has all of that information in their public statement, which is on the cityofbelfast.org site, from their Board of Trustees and from Mr. Pooler. And so they have answered that question. I think they tried to get it fully run in the paper, but their statement was so long that the paper said they couldn't put the whole thing in there. But from an aquifer point of view, there's that aspect. The other aspect that I will point out that I have been told, that has historically been told as being true, is that the chicken poultry plants used more water than Nordic is advocating using. And I don't say that as a compliment to Nordic or a defensive position against chicken factories. I'm just saying that our aquifer has already gone through this process in the past with the amount of water being drawn from it, more so than it's being advocated being used today in terms of amount of water.
Anyone else want to address the freshwater question?
I can't speak for the Bay, though.
The issue about groundwater is, I think, a serious one, but it's important to keep the different aspects of the groundwater discussion separate. Belfast Water District does not draw any water from the Little River Reservoir, and they haven't for many years. The aquifer that we in Belfast drink is up near Swanville. Belfast Water District draws all of its water from that aquifer and not from the Little River system.
37 years.
Yeah. And it's true that Nordic has been drilling test wells all up and down their property to see what the groundwater there will produce to feed their plants. But we don't know what the results of all of those studies are, and we don't know what the recharge capability of that particular area is. My best information is that it's not all sand and gravel, which is what you want for a sustainable aquifer. So I think there are still some questions about the groundwater that they want to rely on, and if they can't find it on their property, they're going to have to get it from the Belfast Water District. If they get it from the Belfast Water District, they may, at some point, if levels go low, be in competition with the rest of the water users, which would be you and me.
Thank you. Another question?
Hello, I just wanted to ask a question about the outflow from this facility. And it was stated that you'd be able to drink this outflow water without any harm to yourself if it weren't for the fact that there will be some salt in it. And do you agree with that statement? And also, the other comment was that the outflow into the bay would be cleaner than what's in the bay already. Thank you.
Anybody?
Well, I made the statement, I think, about the particles. The quote I read in the paper and in discussions with, I believe her first name is Marianne, would be Eric Heim's spouse, is that it is their opinion that the water coming out would contain less particles than the water coming out. I don't know what that means. Is it drinkable? I don't know. The water, bay water, isn't anything I would drink. So, tough answer to a tough question. I've never done that.
It's got to be treated.
I'm willing to try it if you videotape it.
Do you swim in salt water since you don't eat fish?
Full disclosure, I don't swim in the ocean because I'm terrified of sharks and octopus. It's true. No.
Kathleen?
Sharks. That may be true that they are filtering the particles out, right? There shouldn't be particles in the outflow. The 0.4 micron filter will take out most of the particles. The UV treatment, if it works like they say, should destroy, UV destroys most viruses, bacteria, proteins. It just destroys the molecular structure of chemical compounds. But I wouldn't drink it. I mean, you've still got some nitrogen in there, although I imagine there's a lot of nitrogen in beer too, or something like that. But no, I can't really answer that question, but I would not be a guinea pig for that.
I will be.
Okay, you heard him say that.
Andrew. In front of witnesses. Would I drink it? No. But I'm not really concerned about the drinkability of their effluent. What I'm concerned about is the impact of that effluent on the marine environment. And what we don't know are what kinds of pheromones are going to be in there. Those are a fish attractant. I mean, this effluent is going to essentially put out a scent signature. It's going to say, here we are, all 8 million of us, swimming around in circles. We're emitting things, including vaccines, because we've got to be vaccinated. We may be treated with therapeutics because we have to be careful about nematodes and all kinds of things that have been shown to grow in these kinds of controlled environments. And we have to be concerned about toxins like PCBs, trihalomethanes, and flame retardants. Do we see these normally? Sometimes we do, unfortunately, and they appear in the fish feed. So my concern is not, can I drink it, although I wouldn't. But my concern is, what's the impact going to be, and why don't we know more about that?
Thank you, Andrew. Maybe a last question over here.
Well, since it's Audubon, if I could just do a quick question while you're getting... What would be the impact on food and habitat resources?
What would be the impact on important... food and habitat resources for many species of migrating and wintering birds. We have a large number of gulls and ducks that use the bay in midwinter when inland lakes, ponds, and streams are frozen. The great blue herons use the bay as a staging and feeding area during the fall season. And the mouth of the Little River and the area upstream and downstream of the footbridge appear especially important for the support of wintering water birds.
So what was the question?
How would it impact their food? They drink the water too, and habitat resources for them with the changes that could possibly come from the effluent that's going into the bay.
I'll just quickly say, if there is nutrient overloading and depleted oxygen on the benthos, the bottom, then creatures won't be able to survive there if it's severe enough. So that would work its way through the food chain and may affect food sources. The other thing that we haven't addressed, which I haven't had time to research very much, is the temperature of the water coming out of the facility and how that would affect the formation of ice in the winter. And the temperature of the water. I mean, if it warms the water, then the birds would probably like it.
I can't really add to that except to say that Yes, the temperature of the water is going to be an issue, and it's going to be an issue for more than just the immediate marine life or the birds that might migrate and want to be there. But we've been, from what we know from what our Nordic has submitted, the effluent is going to be warmer than the water. And it's going to be warmer than the water all year round. It's going to be the same in Bucksport. It's going to be warmer all year round. And unfortunately, in Bucksport, there's a thermal incline which is keeping this pool of methylated mercury sediment from drifting any farther south in the Penobscot Bay. If that thermocline changes, we could have another issue here. And I don't want to see that happen, but we really need a regulatory framework that will prevent that. There are some laws out there that are being proposed, some of them by the representatives and the state senators right here from our area, that could address that. And if we had more time, we could talk about that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, John. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think last question. Okay. Another last question.
So just quickly, I think probably many people who have been watching this in the news know that that there are a number of lawyers involved and that Belfast City Council is indeed being sued over Nordic Aquafarms related improprieties. And I'm curious to know, and I'm asking Mr. Peterson, I'm curious to know whether when things like that, like this in general, happen in communities, how over time do the communities recover or deal with that kind of thing? Thank you.
I think this question is directed to you.
Well, let me thank you for the question. Let me share the answer or my time to answer with Eric because he's been a part of this too. When I said at the very beginning that the biggest benefit of Nordic's proposal was the discussion and the debate, the downside of that discussion and debate has been the level of rancor that has occurred, and we really need to dial that back down. And I hope that we can. There have been some things that I think our city council rushed into, and I wish they had not, but we have to deal with the situation as we see it right now. I hope that the council and our city manager and our zoning ordinance chief have learned a little bit about the level of interest that our community holds in these kinds of projects, and that maybe the next time you won't make it a done deal, announce it in January, and tell us there's nothing we can do about it.
Thank you. I think that's a very good question. The city council isn't being sued. The city of Belfast is. We represent the city of Belfast. I wouldn't be here tonight speaking as a member of the city council if I hadn't been asked and if I thought it would have any bearing on a lawsuit between the parties in the city. Having said that, I read about it. I don't have any discussions with anybody about it. I'm not asked any questions about it, either from the city side, really, or the public side. How do they recover from it? That's why I'm here, right? Because I know some of the people that have pursued this, and I like those people, and I tend to think they like me too. So I think it's more of a matter of the process that is framing the question of the litigation, but I think to Andy's point, part of the reason that we're all here is we care passionately. Some people express that in different ways. Some people even sue people because they're passionate about it. And the last time I checked, that's okay, right? It's a free country. So that's my answer, and I think it's a straight answer and a good one. I don't have any truck with people that are against this idea. I respect their opinions. I also will say that I've heard many-fold people supporting this, and I would be most interested in some form of collaboration and combination thereof between Nordic, the city, and the impassioned people to make sure that everybody is comfortable with this process and that all questions are answered. except whether the water is drinkable. So I hope that helps you.
Okay. So I think we're about out of time. That's a great segue, Eric, in terms of caring. Thank you, everyone, for caring enough to come out on a somewhat messy night. Thank you for following the ground rules and displaying respect and politeness. And thank you to our panelists. Yeah.